Hey, J. Crew, it's producer Josh Cross. Unorthodox is off this week for Passover, but we wanted to share something from Tablet that feels especially relevant this holiday season. The Minyan, Tablet's series of roundtable discussions with everyday Jews, has a new special installment, a conversation with Jews from the former Soviet Union, moderated as always by Abigail Polgrubin. We asked Tablet Executive Director Wayne Hoffman to explain this multilingual edition of The Minyan and to talk about why The Minyan itself is one of his favorite things published by Tablet. You can find the Russian speaker's Minyan at tabletmag.com/minyan. But first, here's Stephanie with Wayne Hoffman.
Wayne Hoffman, welcome back to Unorthodox.
Thank you.
You've been on the show a bunch over the years, so your name may be familiar to some of our listeners, but I want you to fully just like introduce yourself. Tell us who you are.
I am Tablet's executive editor, which means I oversee parts of the magazine directly, like the community section and the food section and the holiday section and the belief section. I've been at Tablet now since the beginning, since before the beginning, and came to Tablet from The Forward and before that Billboard magazine. And we're going back now into the dark ages.
So tell us about some of the things that you publish in your sections.
One of the things that we publish a lot of in my sections that I really love are personal essays, people talking about their lives as Jews. The phrase I used to describe it is bottom-up Judaism. So as opposed to talking about top-down Judaism, what organizations, denominations, leaders think you should do and say you should do as a Jew, it's about what actual Jews do with their lives and how they live their lives Jewishly, whatever that means to them and whatever they think. The personal essays tend to be about people who have been wrestling with their Judaism in some way, whether it's about a ritual or a belief, or if they have politics that conflict with one of their beliefs and how they've reconciled what they think and what they do in their lives Jewishly. I love to see people wrestling with their Judaism. And we're Jews. People wrestle with everything all the time. So there's no shortage of personal essays to run. But that's one of the things you'll find most. In addition to people giving their personal spin on things like ritual and how they behave Jewishly, what is Shabbos dinner? What does ritual look like? What does mourning look like? What does parenting look like as a Jew? And how do you make that authentic to yourself as a Jew and not just according to a prescription of what someone else told you you should do?
You published some beautiful pieces, but I have to say my favorite series that runs in your section is The Minyan.
Me too. It's also my favorite. I love it more than anything. It is so much effort and work behind the scenes to get it done, and every time it is worth it.
So tell us, what is The Minyan?
The Minyan is a gathering of quote-unquote regular people from a particular demographic group, usually a group that we haven't heard from a lot, and certainly ones I feel like we haven't heard from enough directly. The goal is to find out how different kinds of Jews feel like they do or don't fit into the larger American Jewish community. So the very first one was LGBTQ Jews. It sort of set the template for what I wanted to do with The Minyan, which was twofold. One, to get people talking in their own voices, not to talk to quote-unquote experts, to find out what are the issues facing LGBTQ Jews today. I wanted to talk to actual LGBTQ Jews. And more specifically, I wanted to talk to people who were quote-unquote regular people, not communications directors for organizations or academics who have published books on these subjects. Those are all worthy people, but those are all people who are speaking in a somewhat detached way about large societal trends. That's all interesting, but those people get quoted in newspaper stories and magazine stories a lot. I wanted to hear from everyday people to find out what they're actually going through, and particularly people who haven't been called on to relate their own experiences. So they haven't been focus grouped. They haven't been edited by their bosses and their board of directors. They're just people talking off the cuff about what they've gone through authentically as Jews from a particular background. The idea of a minyan is that we get at least 10 of them. It's usually 10, 11, I think the biggest we had was 12 people. And we try to mix up as much as possible, age, gender, geographic location, and sometimes other instances that are relevant to that particular topic. Like when we did a minyan with Jews with disabilities, we wanted to make sure they represented different kinds of disabilities so that someone who's deaf might have a different experience from someone who's blind. The barriers to participation could be different if you were in a wheelchair as opposed to if you had an issue with speech. Those are very different kinds of disabilities. So we try to make sure that we have different experiences covered. It's not representative of any statistically perfect sample at all. We don't pretend that it is. But the idea is to get multiple voices from as many backgrounds as possible to see what these people are going through and how the American Jewish community can understand them better.
And so you gather all these people, and they are in conversation with probably the best person to be talking to a group of Jews today.
Absolutely. There's without doubt Abigail Pogrebin. I've been in this business of journalism.
It's a great business.
A great business.
Highly recommend it.
Lots of work, not much pay. I've been in this business of journalism for 35 years, and I've done a lot of interviews, and I've been on the other end of a lot of interviews, and I've assigned a lot of stories with people who do interviews. Abigail Pogrebin is extraordinarily skilled at this, at drawing people into conversation with each other. Part of it is that she does the work. Before we have the minyan, Abigail has already spoken to three times as many people who have been whittled down from even larger groups of potential participants. We get to the likely participants, then she interviews them all, sometimes for half an hour at a time, each one, dozens of people, to figure out who has the most interesting story to share, who has the most representative story, who has the most unique story, and how these stories dovetail together. Like, oh, we want to make sure we have this perspective represented. This person has a really fantastic anecdote that illustrates this issue. So before we even sit down, she already knows these people quite well and knows their stories. And that's how she can orchestrate such fantastic discussions. She knows who to connect to who, what subjects will segue into the next, and which subjects will draw responses that are widely shared and which will draw responses that have very, very differing responses. So we'll get some conflicts, not the right word, but difference, some difference of opinion into these discussions.
This latest minyan is truly astounding, and not only because we're publishing it in multiple languages. Tell us a little bit about this latest installment.
So over the past 2 years, we've done 10 previous minyans, and they've ranged from issues like LGBTQ Jews, where we started, to Black Jews, which was one of the more recent ones we did, Jews with disabilities, to atheist Jews and Baal Teshuva Jews who found Orthodoxy later in life. We've even done a couple on more unexpected topics, like we wanted to tackle interfaith marriage, but we decided to do it from the perspective of the non-Jewish spouse because we realized no one ever talks to the non-Jewish spouse about what it's like to be married to a Jew. We keep talking to the Jews about what it's like to be married to a non-Jew. So we did it the other way around. So we've taken all sorts of different tacks over the past 2 years. The one we're doing next is with Jews who had immigrated from the former Soviet Union, Russian-speaking Jews, not their descendants, but those immigrants themselves. That unto itself is an enormous range of people. We have people who immigrated in the 70s under Soviet rule, people who immigrated later as the Soviet Union was crumbling, and people who came later after the fall of the Soviet Union. So they came from independent countries, Ukraine, Estonia, Kyrgyzstan, all across the former Soviet Union. They also have a large range of ages. Some people came as children. Some people came as adults with children. They moved to all different places across the United States. So their experiences, even though on the one hand they share a lot in common, the things they differ about are often even more revealing than the things they share. One of the things that we asked about that was particularly intriguing, there's a common perception that Russian-speaking Jews tend to lean right when it comes to politics. We asked this question and three people answered in completely different ways. One talked about how she arrived as a liberal and became more conservative. One about how she arrived as a Republican and now is a Democrat. And the other who talked about the generational differences saying, well, my parents are Republicans and the generation after me are Democrats and I'm sort of in the middle. So it didn't turn one way or the other. It actually turned out to be much more complicated than anyone thought. And each of those people explained how they arrived at their politics. So it's not that there was a cookie cutter answer. There wasn't. And if you went in thinking there was one, you find yourself disabused of that notion very fast.
And I think that's the magic of these minions, right? Once you get real people in the room together, it turns out whatever your preconceived notion about X group of people within the Jewish community, there's so much texture and layering and nuance to their individual experiences.
It all goes right out the window. And this is really one of the reasons you want to talk to, quote unquote, regular people. One of the questions that we talked to the Jews from the former Soviet Union about was how they were welcomed or not welcomed by the American Jewish community. And their answers, they did line up. They did have similar things to say. But two of the main issues that came up were the American Jewish community did a fantastic job of welcoming us initially, of first of all, helping us get out. And second of all, welcoming us to America and into the community. But then once we were here, they didn't always do such a great job of actually integrating us into the community. Like if we came without any religious background, maybe someone sat down and said, this is what Shabbat is, and this is what you don't do, and this is what kosher means. Goodbye. And there wasn't a lot of real teaching about what Judaism meant or the stories behind the rules or building a community that included them instead of just saying, well, this is the community and you can show up if you want. So the things they had to say were pretty nuanced about, on the one hand, yes, recognizing just all the efforts the American Jewish community had made, and also the places where they had fallen short at the same time.
I think the movement to free Soviet Jewry, it looms large in all of our imaginations, but you're right. I don't think most people necessarily thought about what happens after that.
Correct. Or what happened before that. This is one of the key things. It came up in this discussion, and it's come up in almost all of the Minyans, not necessarily during the Minyan, but in the notes we get from participants afterward, which is to say, thank you so much for actually listening to us. Because oftentimes we go into the discussions, we, meaning me and Abigail Pogrebin and Jamie Batesh Carter, who's helping us with setting all this up, we go in from our own perspectives. No matter how much you try not to, you go in from your own perspective. And so often, as American Jews, we start the discussion with American Jews organizing to free Soviet Jewry, which is all a lovely and valid discussion, but that is not what this discussion is. This discussion is about the Soviet Jews themselves, and they have agency in their own story. And yes, American Jews organize, and they recognize all that American Jewry did to help them. But the story is their story, not our story. We're a part of their story. So for this Minyan, that's where we're focusing, is on them. It's about them and letting them tell their own story.
So walk us through, give us the behind the scenes. You told us about the intense preparation that goes into selecting the participants and pre-interviewing them and getting everyone ready for the Zoom. And then, of course, the Zoom interview on which Abby masterfully manages a 10-person, 10-plus person interview. There was one of Holocaust survivors that had multi-generational with younger people helping their parents with the technology.
Yes.
That was a really Herculean feat on her part. But then it all gets edited down and published in Tablet. So tell us about that final product.
So the final product is the editing is extraordinarily light. We're not out to change what anyone said. We're out to clear up the ums and ahs we found in this past Minyan. I think one person kept starting sentences with so, which is fine. That's how people talk, but it's not necessary. Occasionally, someone has said the wrong word, and they'll come back afterward and say, I said this, but that's not the word I meant. And sometimes we're looking up words to say, I know that person just dropped the name of a Russian food, but I honestly don't know what it is. Let's figure it out later. So the editing is very, very minor. Mostly just for the sake of clarity and very occasionally to trim for space, but typically just for clarity. All of these are essentially anonymous discussions. So people are identified by their names, which sometimes are pseudonyms, and their biographical information sometimes is very specific and sometimes is not. Someone might say, my name is Julie and I'm from Massachusetts, as opposed to saying I'm from Brookline, Massachusetts. Sometimes people will say I'm in my 80s instead of It's unimportant. The broader strokes are what's more important here. It's important that people feel like they're free to express themselves without worrying that they've revealed too much that might be identifiable. And to give you an example, the Minyan we did with non-Jewish spouses of Jews, we asked a couple questions about how they had been welcomed into their in-laws' families. And some of them had negative experiences. Some of them had very positive experiences. It was, again, not universal. But the ones who'd had negative experiences were concerned because they didn't want these things to be read by their, say, mother-in-law now that they have good relationships to realize that, you know what, 30 years ago, when I was first in your home, you said something that really was insulting to me. I want to hear that story so I understand what really happened, but I want them to feel like it's not going to come back and reverberate against them if their mother-in-law reads this now and dredges up old history. So it's important that people feel free to speak honestly without worrying about their identity being revealed. Because again, the persons we're interviewing are not people in paid positions where they can take public stances. these are their private stories. They're really very, very private.
So when these minions come out, we often run a little snippet of them on Unorthodox so our listeners can get a taste of what they are and then, of course, go to Tablet to read them. We hear one question all the time from people, which is, why is this not a podcast? I love this idea of 10 people talking and hearing their conversation. And I will say, we have asked you this before.
Yes, this does come up. There's a reason it's not a podcast. It's also a reason that it's not videoed for anyone to watch as a video. Because we do it on Zoom. You could watch. It's as interesting to watch as any Zoom is. When people feel like they're being recorded, they are more careful and hesitant about what they say. And they are also worried about being more identifiable. People might recognize someone's voice. They'd certainly recognize someone's face if they saw it. And sometimes the discussion is more, as any Zoom might be, is a little more chaotic than it seems in the end product.
You're telling me that 10 Jews all, you know, respect when each other starts and stops.
Yeah, absolutely not. There are a couple of instances actually in this minion where it's clear when you see it written out, but it would be really, really clear if you heard it live, where people are just talking over each other. And if you wanted to listen, it'd be very, very hard to understand what was happening. In this particular minion, people get into discussions about what certain Russian foods were and are, and whether they're disgusting or delicious, and what should be in them, and how long a fruitcake should last. And the discussion gets very, very heated. Mm-hmm. It's actually more useful and illustrative if you tease it out in print rather than just listen to the jumble of conversation. Then you also, it's the noise. The noise that is part of any spoken conversation, but it's neater and easier to digest when you sit back and read it and really contemplate it. I think you get a lot out of reading it and reading it again.
Okay, fine. So the other thing that you've done, which is remarkable, is as much as you're thinking about accessibility when you're planning these conversations, it also shows up on the tail end as well. And for the Jews with Disabilities feature, you made that accessible to people with disabilities.
Yes.
on our website, right?
Yes. And, you know, we try to do this as much as possible. Sometimes it's more relevant than others, but that's one of the reasons why this minion is going to be translated into Russian. It'll be available as a PDF running alongside the article. So if you want to read it in Russian, you can read it in Russian. It doesn't mean we're going to start publishing regularly in Russian, but it does mean that this story seemed like the one to run in another language so that the most important people can read it as comfortably as they possibly can.
I love that so much. And I'm so grateful to you, Wayne Hoffman, and to Abigail Pogrebin for putting this feature together and so tirelessly working to help us understand what's going on within our Jewish worlds.
If people come out of these feeling like they actually learned something about people who are members of their community whose story they don't know, then I've achieved what we wanted to achieve. And I'll say, as someone who organizes these, every single time I come out of these learning things I did not already know, I start with a list of issues and questions that I think will be the main ones to address and inevitably come out with twice as many questions about subjects I didn't even realize were issues for this particular group of people. And that's why we need to do these.
Our listeners can check out all the minions, especially this latest one featuring Jews from the former Soviet Union at tabletmag.com/minion. But wait, there's more. Tablet is doing a special Zoom event that looks at all the issues that came up in this conversation of Jews from the former Soviet Union. That's taking place on Thursday, May 9th at 12 Eastern and is open to all Tablet members. You can find out more about this event at tabletmag.com/Soviet Jews.
Unorthodox is a production of Tablet Studios. The show is normally hosted by Stephanie Butnick, Liel Leibovitz, and Joshua Molina. Our executive producer is Courtney Hazlett, and we're produced and edited by me, Josh Cross, with Robert Scaramuccia, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. And our team also includes Tanya Singer and Sam Hacker. Our episode art is by Esther Werdiger, our logo is by Jenny Rosbrook, and our theme music is by Golem. We love to hear from you. Email us at unorthodox@tabletmag.com or leave a message on our listener line, 914-570-4869. As my grandmother would say, have a happy and healthy and Chag Sameach. Shalom, friends.